Today's story from Matthew's Gospel is an interesting one. It is a simple story about a woman who couldn't care less about all the politics and division in her world. She cared only about her daughter. And her story reminds us of what faith and prayer and love look like when we are faced with real personal adversity. It is a story that brings us back to the basics of what it means to trust in Jesus. Now, to set the scene, from Mark's account, we know that just before all of this happened, Jesus had been travelling with his disciples, preaching and healing. As Mark puts it, so many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. At Gennesaret and wherever they went, they were overwhelmed by people seeking healing and wanting to be fed. So Jesus, needing a break, decides to travel a good 100 miles out of his way into the region of Tyre and Sidon, what today would be Lebanon. But even there, he was recognised. This local woman comes up to him shouting for help. Now, by Jewish law, this woman was unclean. Firstly, she was a woman. And Jewish men did not speak to women publicly in those days. Secondly, she's the mother of a child possessed by a demon. And finally, she's a Gentile, not Jewish. Matthew describes her as a Canaanite. Now, the Canaanites were among the original inhabitants of Israel, who in Old Testament times had been conquered by the Israelites. As was common in those circumstances, they were then portrayed as an inferior people. Nothing good could be said about them. And they were forever cast as the enemy of Israel. And yet, it is this unclean outsider who immediately recognises Jesus as a king and a man of power. Remarkable when we consider that even the disciples were slow to understand just who Jesus was. But Jesus' response to the woman's shouted pleas is perplexing. At first he says nothing. And yet he refuses the disciples' request to send her away. She persists. So he tells her that his mission is to the house of Israel. The woman then kneels before him. She kneels because she recognises him as having authority, not only to sit on the throne of David, but to wield power over evil. Lord, help me, she says. And Jesus replies, it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Now, I'm not sure what you think, but that seemed to me such a harsh statement for someone like Jesus, of all people, to make. So I went looking for other people's interpretation of this. Jan Richardson, commenting on this, says, in the absence of hearing Jesus' inflection and seeing his face, it's difficult to discern how he intends those words. Is he weary by this point and short of temper? Is his human side feeling overwhelmed by the work that yet remains for him within the house of Israel, let alone the world beyond? Or does he know full well what this mother is made of and chooses to use this as a teaching moment for his disciples and an opportunity to match wits with a worthy opponent. Whatever Jesus' intent, it's hard to avoid hearing the insult that lurks within these words. The woman, however, refuses to be dissuaded. Rather than hearing Jesus' response as a barrier, she uses it as a doorway. The woman may be kneeling before Jesus, but she is not merely a supplicant. She is poised to wrestle a blessing from him. "Yes, Lord," she responds, "yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." In a striking statement, she turns this metaphor around. She responds with courage, courtesy, and a challenge. Now, it's interesting that in last week's gospel, Peter, caught in a storm, takes his eyes off Jesus and begins to sink. And Jesus says, "O you of little faith." This woman, caught in a very different storm, stays focused on Jesus and falls to her knees before him. And Jesus responds, "Woman, great is your faith." So what is the real difference? What makes her faith great? Well, to begin with, this story suggests that great faith often requires great need. Throughout the New Testament, the people who showed the greatest faith in Jesus seemed to be the ones who needed him most, the ones who were poor in spirit. As Jesus himself describes it, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." So great faith requires us to recognize our need for Jesus, realizing that we don't have it all figured out and we can't fix ourselves, our families, or our world on our own. The woman in this morning's gospel was desperate. Her daughter was being tormented by a demon, and she would do anything for her, even turn to a Jew. She was prepared to humble herself and embarrass herself. She was prepared to do whatever it would take because her need was that great. Great faith also requires knowing who will fill our needs. The Canaanite woman had great faith, not just because she was desperate for help, but because she came to realize that Jesus was the only one who could really help her, and she had no hesitation in approaching him. Finally, great faith requires persistent trust. When Jesus ignored her, she didn't give up. And possibly one reason Jesus ignored this woman at the beginning was to show his disciples what a great and persistent faith really looked like. Immediately before Jesus had left for Tyre and Sidon, he had responded to challenges from the scribes and the Pharisees by reframing the boundaries of clean and unclean. He had declared that what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and what comes out of the heart determines what makes one clean. In this case, what came from the Canaanite woman's heart was faith and certainty that Jesus had power enough for Israel and power enough to save her non-Israelite daughter. Her words demonstrated that the boundary separating her from the house of Israel must be reconsidered. With a faith so pure, how could she be deemed to be unclean. She presumed that her child was as worthy of healing as any Jewish child, and nothing was going to stand in the way of that. And she was prepared to break down the barriers that would have excluded her. That Canaanite woman then stands for all who have been denied crumbs, for all those excluded from society, portrayed as inferior, and denied their human dignity and respect. Are we able to see what she recognised? That in God's kingdom, there are more than crumbs to be handed out. That there is abundance for all who would accept God's generous gifts. That clean and unclean are not judged by whether you are like us, but by what comes from your heart. That Jesus' ministry is not exclusive, but inclusive. And that encounter with Jesus is not condemning, but transforming. As Janet Hunt asks, are we called to recognise that the boundary of who belongs are ever expanding? And are we to wonder what that looks like for us now in this world where the forces of hate and fear and bigotry would exclude and marginalise those who differ from those of us who tend to dominate? Jesus affirmed the woman's faith in him and did not dismiss her faith tradition as religious falsehood. And his concluding words to her challenged his followers then and now to recognise the gifts of goodness and grace that exist beyond the bubbles and boundaries that we live in. Respectful conversations with those who are different from us can help us see just how abundant God's grace is, bring us closer to Christ, and grow our courage and persistence in confronting prejudice and in refusing to be silent in the pursuit of justice. May we know then that first of all, God's desire is for each and every person to experience themselves as God's beloved children. And secondly, to recognise that others have so much to teach us. In the words of the hymn that we will sing at the end of the service, let us build a house where all are named, their songs and visions heard, and loved and treasured, taught and claimed as words within the word. Amen.